show coming right up.
If it's happening in Fairfield County, Lisa has something to say about it. 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Joining us now is State Senator Tony Wong, who is filling in for Kevin Kelly, who couldn't make it this morning, but we love having Senator Wong on. He represents a district that includes so much of our WICC listening area. He is a Republican. He issued a thoughtful statement this morning on the implementer bill, and he's on this morning to talk to us about the specifics of it. Welcome, Tony, to the show today. Good morning.
Thank you so much for having me on, Lisa, and I know Senator Kelly extends his regards, but because of the fiasco and the chaos of yesterday in the Senate, he's working really hard right now up at the Capitol to try to get a better clarity of what is happening next.
So at 837 pages, how long were you given to read the bill and know what was in it before you were asked to vote on it, Senator Wong?
You know what? I got it. It was released at 3:04 a.m. Yesterday, and I got a hold of it at 6 o'clock and was literally blurry-eyed reading some of the stuff. What was two parts that struck me. One was obviously the really disrespectful process of such a comprehensive and important special session that we're going to go into and not given the chance to prepare properly, to fully understand it. But as I read through some of this stuff, it seemed to me that there were so many more issues beyond what the purpose of the implementer was. The implementer is intended to be a nuts and bolts kind of a document that explain the budget that we passed in a bipartisan basis of where the money goes, how is it implemented, therefore the name implementer. But unfortunately, there were so many other legislative bills that were inserted. Unfortunately, we gave a very unpleasant term for it called rats, which kind of says these were inserted for special interest groups or legislative issues that were deemed not viable or too controversial or did not have the full support. Those were inserted in a yay or nay one vote. We had an aircraft carrier bill of 837 pages that we had to vote on with less than literally 6 hours of review.
Who's responsible for that, Senator Wong?
Well, unfortunately, Lisa, it really is a reflection of the arrogance and the disrespect of one-party rule. In this case, the Democratic House leaders, the Democratic Senate leaders, and the governor's office. The arrogance of have one-party rule where a possible cabal of maybe 8 or 10 people were making decisions, inserting language, editing languages, when this is not just Republican legislators, but Democratic rank-and-file legislators didn't get access to this information. So it really is a frustration and some aspects of anger for me because we're not allowed to do our job in representative government. And then you have controversial issues. One, listening to you earlier talking about Indian images and mascots. Now, this is a very emotional, relevant and societal concerning issue. We never had a public debate about it. You know, that's the problem. The insightful conversation that you engendered in earlier this morning about this is the thoughtful public meetings, the public hearings in which we should hear all the different viewpoints to be able to refine, understand, and craft better policy. We didn't have that. This was inserted because of powerful influences, and that is not democracy. That is, unfortunately, a one-party rule, and it's not just in Connecticut, in this case with a Democratic one-party rule. It happened in Georgia. It happens in the federal government. The reality is when you have power and you exercise it, the only people that lose are representative government and what its intent is.
So let me ask you this. We're chatting with Senator Tony Wong. Embedded in this implementer bill, well, first of all, I still have a question about process. Does it have to be this way? In other words, what's the rush?
There is no need for a rush. The fact is, I said earlier, the fact that we had a constitutional mandated end of session last Wednesday, And it, okay. The term is sine die, a Latin term for without day session. So we are technically closed. We had to specially request this special session to enact legislation marijuana because it did not pass the muster. And this implementer should have been done with a budget. But the problem is there is no urgency from a standpoint of implementation. We have till July, the end of July this year, to do so. But the okay. rush, my reaction was many of my part-time legislators, after a very, very exhausting legislative session this year, took vacations, took time to be with their family. There were three or four senators that had trips planned that they couldn't come back from.
So what you're saying, Senator Wong, is that in the minority party as the Republicans, this was put to you for an up or down vote in one day after 6 hours of looking at it, an 837-page bill. And there is no constitutional mandate that that bill be voted on that day. In fact, you had plenty more time. And if the powers that be wanted to, they could have allowed you weeks to look at this implementer bill and decide how you felt about different provisions of it and schedule to vote weeks from now. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Indeed. The legislative leaders had 4 days with this document, refining it, editing it, and even amending it the last minute. We had less than that in regards to hours to review and have an up and down vote. It really was where we were in the sidelines, unfortunately, trying to make up for lost time and lost understanding of a very complex bill. Another issue was we now codified restaurants to be able to use outdoor seating. Now, we crafted something that had true bipartisan support, but it was supposed to sunset after a year post-COVID reevaluation. In this implementer, what it just came out is, this is now codifying that restaurants in the state will overrule local governance in regards to what you do with outdoor seating in restaurants. It now codifies that any outdoor seating that you have becomes kind of de facto, and the local municipalities and safety enforcement, law enforcement, have very little say in that. That's another example where the state powers have gone beyond and encroached and in fact, overrun home rule and local planning and zoning authorities. It's another encroachment that the state is saying, I know what's best for your local communities. That's represented in some of the bills that got passed in this implementer language.
There's a lot to it. We were discussing earlier, we're chatting with Tony Wong. There's a lot to it. There's the automatic admission for 4-year colleges with very limited exceptions. There's the getting rid of the idea that you can't vote if you're paroled for a felony. There's a bunch of things like that in the bill that didn't make it to a full vote because they were allowed to die or they should have died or they never got full hearings. There's a lot of substance in this implementer bill as well as just the implementation. There's a lot
without
of substance.
Without a doubt. And I'm reading it for the third time with legislative analysis, and I'm finding out more and more stuff that just never passed the smell test, quote-unquote, Lisa. And this is important. It is not just a Republican senator that is upset about this. Any legislator, Democrat, newcomer, or veteran, should look at this process as broken. And they should also speak up about the fact that representative government was overrun by the arrogance of one-party control. They should speak up because the reality is the tide could change and it could happen to other people. We've seen that outrage happen in Georgia, right? It really is truly where democracy lost in this.
Yeah, it's, you know, politics has become a winner-take-all sport. Just has.
Unfortunately,
it has been,
but it crafts even worse policy, Lisa.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I'm not a winner-take-all person. You know me, I'm all about mediation anyway. I'm all about trying to find a middle ground. I'm all about mediation. I'm all about seeing things from someone else's point of view. I'm all about that my whole life in every single aspect of my life. But I just look from the outside in and I see that it's become a winner-take-all sport. Those in power exercise power as if the people who are not in power don't count, no matter what side of the aisle they're on.
And you know what the ultimate result and sadness that I have, and that's why my frustration and anger is this, it reinforces people's lack of trust and belief in representative government. They feel as though this is a rigged game, that that they're just kind of enduring the results of these policies, and they really don't have a say. And that is the ultimate sadness that I have, is that people are reinforced that government is not representative of their values, they don't have a say in it, and this is business as usual, and it shouldn't be. It really represents a broken and arrogant legislative process that should not be. We should be better than that in Connecticut.
Senator Wong, I'm going to need to move on to Wayne Winston. We're going to talk about race and Juneteenth in just a moment. But what is it that you want to tell our listeners about this implementer bill? In other words, it came up for a vote. My understanding is in the Senate. My understanding is now it's being debated in the House. But the governor is threatening to veto parts of it. Does he do an up or down on the whole implementer? Or is it the implementer that he's inclined to sign, but he's inclined to veto the marijuana bill because that's a separate bill? Help me out because it's a little bit confusing.
I'll quickly add, we voted on two bills, two separate bills. Okay. The marijuana legalization was one. That was the one where the governor raised the concern about social equity amendments that was added at the last minute without his input. And he may veto it, and the House may adapt amendment language to coincide with conforming his concerns. But if that is amended in the House, it would need to come back to the Senate. So we would need to go back in another special session to vote on it. On the implementer, what we have seen is through the great work of WICC's reporters and awareness throughout that these kind of process were flawed. There may be bills that were going to be amended out in the House, and if that gets amended, that bill will need to come back to the Senate. So stay tuned. But people can read and judge for themselves. At the end of the day, there are some level of guidelines of freedom of information and transparency that is there, but we're making it harder and harder. So it's Senate Bill 1202 that people can go and find out and read about the analysis and some of the language that's in there. Maybe they can find something else that we did not pick up that is a point of concern for them as well. Another example, we eliminated the flavor vaping that was passed through. That got swept out.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. That got swept out because people said it was so weak it didn't even belong in there because you could drive a truck through the loopholes.
But darn if we talked to people about it. It came as a complete surprise.
I get it. Senator Wong, thank you so much for being on the show. We so appreciate your accessibility and your thoughts about all of this. Thank you very much for being on the show today.
Lisa, always a pleasure to talk to you, and I want to extend regards from Senator Kelly as well.
Thank you. We'll be right back with Wayne Winston. We'll talk about race and Juneteenth coming right up.